Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together.
By Father's Day today, I got a call from one of my sons already. Made my day. I'll get more calls as the day goes on. But I had a godly father. My daddy died in 1972. He provided for me everything I needed and a lot of what I wanted. Provided me with an education. Provided me with a godly example. I didn't realize that until many days, many years later. And if I could, I would sure tell him thank you. So, if your dad's alive and your dad's within your life, thank him for what he's doing for you. Thank you for what he's provided for you. We have a great example in Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. That's what God says in his word. And we can see in these verses, as we talk about them just briefly, when he spoke to him, he got up early the next morning. He didn't linger. Not an easy thing for him to do what God was asking him to do. Can you imagine that? As you look at the verses, Isaac carried the wood. Abraham carried the knife and the fire, the weapon to take his life. He followed. And as they got to the place, Abraham told the servants, "We're going to go, the son and I, to worship. But we will return." Amazing faith. Believing that if and if Isaac's life was taken, God would restore his life again. A man of great faith. And then when his son asked him, "Father, what about the sacrifice?" And what did he say? "That God himself will provide the offering, my son." He was a man of great faith. As I've said, my father was a great example to me. And I'm so thankful. I've tried to be an example to my son, but I've failed in many ways. As we think about fathers today, perhaps many of you did not have a father in your life. He abandoned you. He may have abused you. He may have been addicted to alcohol or drugs or many other things. And it's hard to think about a father like that. But then we think about our earthly, our heavenly Father. And he gives us such a great example over and over again in his word of who a father really is. 2005, a group of us went to Zambia, Africa, to work in an orphanage there with Sons of Thunder, Linda and Mike Jones. I remember going down there. It took, seemed like forever to get there, but we did finally get there. We rode in the back of an old truck out to the compound where we were, and we saw the children, orphans, many there, playing in the yard. And as we get up in the morning, we were converting an old barn into a dorm for those orphans. We get up in the morning, we go out and see the children, and they want you to pick them up and hold them. And you pick them up and you'd hold them, and they just hug you. And when you want to put them down, they didn't want to let go. They needed a man in their life, a father, an example. They didn't have a father, not living or that cared about them. And you could see that in their lives, their little faces, their eyes. As I was seeking God's direction for this message this morning, he brought to mind a song written by Paul Belushi. I've asked Jamie to sing that song and play it for us today. It's called "I Have a Maker, I Have a Father." So for you who are struggling perhaps with a father that was not a part of your life, think about this earthly father, this heavenly father, the earthly father who was not, but this heavenly father who is a part of your life.
A maker, he formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. Me when I call. might make. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And hears me when I call. And hears me when I call.
Thank you, Jamie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You made us. You know us. Every tear that falls, you see. You love us. You have a perfect plan for our lives. Help us to be all and more that you want us to be. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And thank you, Lord, for the fathers that you gave us, the earthly fathers, who were the right influence in our lives, and we celebrate. And Lord, thank you that you're our Heavenly Father, and that in all ways you will never forsake us. You're always with us, and we celebrate that with all our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at Abraham, Father Abraham, for a minute, and draw some parallels from that. How well do you think Abraham was, spiritually and physically? I want you to think about that. In fact, you have in your bulletin this morning two inserts. One to help us make a spiritual survey of our lives, and one to help us make a physical survey of our lives. For Abraham to do what he did was absolute faith that God would provide the sacrifice. He believed that with all his heart. To help us realize the importance of our spiritual well-being and our physical well-being, we look at the Word. And I'd like to bring to your attention 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, which say, as you can see, "Or do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And another scripture that parallels this, 3 John Chapter 1, verse 2. "Beloved, I pray that you may go well, that may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, as well with your soul." Physical health, spiritual health. In this day and time, and I'm somewhat caught up in it, there is a almost obsession with personal fitness training. Now, I'm not pumping iron, but I do go to the YMCA and swim in the aquarobics class. And don't smirk until you try it one time. Planet Fitness, Fitness Warehouse, YMCA, all these places provide us with places to get physical exercise, and that's good. Or maybe walking, or whatever it may be. And that's important. But what about our spiritual warehouse, or our spiritual YMCA, or our spiritual Planet Fitness? Where do we get that? We can look in, if you look at that first survey, and I want to go along with it and share some thoughts with you, with our spiritual wellness, we have some spiritual personal spiritual disciplines. And look at these four points. And I believe it's just as important as eating proper food, getting proper exercise, and getting a proper amount of rest. I have a regular quiet time with Christ. We all need one. We need that quiet time to allow Him to speak to us through His Word, through prayer, through meditation. I read and study my Bible each day. Read and study. Someone told me that they found out it was not as good to try to read so many chapters, but to read something and focus on it and understand it and let it speak to us. But anyway, we spend time reading each day. We spend time in prayer each day. We want to grow daily in our walk with Christ. How do you measure up? How do I measure up? I don't quite fit all those four. I'm sorry. I'm just admitting it right now. But hold me accountable. I'm starting today. Maybe you can too. To be focused on and to understand the spiritual wellness of our bodies is so important. Of our souls is so important. I made mention of going to the Y and swimming in the aquarobics class. Several years ago, and some of you may have heard this before, but anyway, it's good to hear again. Joy and I started going. I would get upstairs, and I'd do the machines where you hear clanking. I wasn't pumping iron, but I was doing what I could on the 13 machines you could do. And I'd walk over, and I'd look down at her in the pool and wave. And I say, they're just bobbing and floating down there. That's not anything. I kept saying that until finally she convinced me to go. There was a lady that I had known, a great Christian lady that I had known for many years, who was a part of that class. Her name was Miss Estelle Felton. She's with the Lord now. But I went down there. I finally got up enough courage to go down there. And Miss Estelle said, come on in, Mr. White. You'll enjoy it. I'm right here. I'll help you if I need to. And before long, I was needing some help. I learned something quick. You can't perspire in the water. Now, you bobbing and floating, you don't. But you get out there and work, you do. You guys have done some water safety training. You know what I'm talking about. So I began on an experience that's gone over 6 years that I look forward to every day. We need to look forward to our time with Christ, our time in His Word, our time in prayer, our time where we're seeking His direction in our lives. And as we do that, we'll grow spiritually. Corporate spiritual disciplines. I enjoy attending worship services, or I attend worship services on a regular basis. And you're here this morning. I'm a part of a Sunday school class. I just eliminated about half of you. Sorry. I look forward to my Sunday school class every week. One of the reasons why is I teach it most of the time, but nevertheless, it helps me in my walk. It's just as important for us to be involved in a Sunday school class or in an organized study as it is for us to eat healthy food to keep our bodies strong. So if you're not a part of a Sunday school class, then listen to this old guy. You need to be, if you're able. And on that form, there's a place that you can indicate if you want to be a part of a Sunday school class to do so. We'll get you some information. I'm a part of a life group. We have life groups. This is to God's glory. I've been going to a life group since 1999 at 6:30 on Monday mornings. It makes my week. There are about 6 or 8 old guys there. And we've gone through book after book after book after book, study after study after study. And it's my special time each week. You may be a part of a life group here. But if you're not, you need to be. The old teacher in me is coming out. You need to be. Let me tell you what happened last Sunday night at our life group. We meet in John and Barbara's Parker's house. We met there. We have several. Most of you are here this morning. I was as tired last Sunday as I have been in a long time. I was physically exhausted. And I didn't get a nap. And it was like 4:30 before we got home. I thought, oh man, if I was to myself saying this, I have a good reason not to go. I'm tired. But I went, expecting to be exhausted even more. We went, we sat down, we had a circle, we talked, we shared, we loved on each other. And then Barbara says, oh, the sunset. Look at the sunset. Let's go to the end of the pier and pray while the sun sets. Wow, was that awesome. We saw that sky change second by second by second by second. And we were praising God the whole time. And then I kind of opened one of my eyes and I saw a bright star come out of the horizon. And I thought, that's a star. It's not a plane, it's a star. I wonder what its name is. Then it reminded me, God says, I know its name. I put it there. Not only that one, but every other one that's up there too. So we spent that special time that I would have missed if I had listened to myself and said, you need to be a part of a life group. You need to be a part of one. Study. Connect. Share with one another. If you're interested in that information, you can indicate it on there, and you can let us get you connected. I attend church Bible studies. Wednesday nights, we have a Bible study, and Sean's doing a wonderful job in the book of Ephesians. We need to be a part of that if we can. If there's any way, we need to be here. Because there's something about that corporate coming together. We can love on each other. We can share with one another, and we can grow in our spiritual walk. Ministry to others. I take part in at least 2 service ministries of the church. Some of you take part in many more than that. But do you take part in at least 2? There are places, there are things we can do. Souls ministry, greeters, choir, any number of things that are out there for us to do, to be a part of. Stephen ministry. So think about ways that God can use you in a part of the ministers of the church. Our prayerfully and financially support missions. We have many missionaries who are part of this church, who've been here, who are now on the field, that we need to be a part of, investing in, praying for, encouraging. Missionaries, many other opportunities as well. We need to do that. We need to work. I expect for God to use me every day in the kingdom. We do that by being available to allow him to work in our hearts. I share a biblical truth with those I serve as God gives me the opportunity. Do you take every opportunity to share the gospel of Christ? Someone told me something I have never forgotten. Most people you see in your daily life, in Elizabeth City, Hartford, not so much Hartford, Windfall, it's not so much. But most people you see, you will not see again. What impact are we, you and I, going to have on that person in that spiritual walk? Have a blessed day. God bless you today. Anything like that can be said in a simple way that makes a difference. Personal witnessing and discipleship. I share my faith with non-believers. Now it's getting a little more like stepping out of the boat. We need to do that. And the best way to share our faith with non-believers is to tell what God has done in our lives. What has he done for me? What's he done for you? Have you shared that with someone lately? That's the easiest way I know to share your faith. Tell what God's done for you. I share my faith. My faith knows that those whom I associate with. I'm discipling someone in their walk with Christ. Pastor Bill has shared with us the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Are we making disciples? Are we one-on-one with someone? Are we praying with someone? Are we investing in someone? We need to be. That's how the church grows. That's how the church makes a difference in people's lives. And am I demonstrating a belief in the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So I think we can see some real truths in these spiritual disciplines that we are responsible for as Christians. Folks, you look at the news just like I do. I was deeply saddened by what I heard that happened just recently in the church in Charleston. A policeman was killed yesterday in New Orleans, making an arrest. Violence is out there everywhere. What do? We can't retreat and come back. We need to be strong in our faith, be strong in our prayers, be strong in our witness, be strong in our outreach to other people, because that's what's going to make a difference. We can't just sit back. We talked about it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. When things are happening that we're aware of that are wrong, we need to deal with it. God gives us an example to follow, the Matthew principle, what we need to do it. We need to be on guard, on the edge, as we walk in our faith. Some of you may have been watching the AD series on Sunday nights. And some of it's biblical, some of it isn't, but we've watched it. And I see the persecution that is so evident in that series of the early church. Murdered because of who they were. Crucified because of who they were. And we see that in our world today as well. We can't stop. We can't sit back. We have to be forward in our way of sharing God, the salvation of Jesus Christ to our world that's lost. And to hear someone share this morning or yesterday, who was a relative of one who was murdered, saying to this murderer, you're forgiven. Just as God forgives you, we forgive you. That's only by the grace of God, folks. That is only by the grace of God that something like that can happen. So we need to be sure of our spiritual wellness. Now, our physical wellness. Let's take a look at the other one, okay? Now, I'm not going to get into this too much because I think it's a personal thing. But we need to take care of our bodies. Some things happen to us that we can't help. I understand that. But a lot of things happen to us that we can help. We need to be careful. We need to be wise in how we take care of our physical body. God, the Word says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I shared this morning in Sunday school class, if you rode by a church and the weeds were growing up in the yard and the branches were all over this way and it looked like it hadn't been anything done to it in years, would you want to go to it? Then you go by another church and you see everything manicured and looks good. Well, it doesn't always mean what's happening on the inside, out on the outside is happening on the inside, but I'll be drawn to one that's been taken care of first to see if the truth being preached. So we need to be careful in our first impressions. And that's the same thing with us physically as well. We need to be about our best in all that we can to be the good example that God wants us to be physically and spiritually. Several months back, the senior saints, oh, by the way, there's some folks that could come to senior saints perhaps that don't. We have wonderful programs that are very appropriate to seniors. And you can be a part of that as well. Starts up again in August. But we need to be a part of those things. The Senior Saints is a wonderful ministry. So we can be a part of that as well. Come and take part in that and be a part of letting God work in your physical body to do the things you want to do. Well, there was a lady that came from Vodden Hospital, and she shared with us some wonderful things. And she later talked to me about possibly connecting and doing some things as far as group wellness within the church. So we're going to do this survey. It's the first thing she asked us to do. Complete this survey. Fill it out. And we're going to respond based on what you tell us. If we get 100, we'll do it. If we get 5, we'll do it. We're going to do it based on what your needs are. So please take, in a few minutes, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. Time to take this survey and turn it in. We'll turn it in at the end of the service and let you be a part of giving us some directions on what we should do. What about your spiritual wellness and your physical wellness? As a scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, latter part of verse 7, verse 8. It says, train yourself for godliness. For while the bodily training is of some value, godliness is of the value of a greater way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The life to come. We're referring to eternity. In the Stephen ministry, some of you familiar, some of you may not be. The Lord has given me the opportunity to minister to several people who are going through a terminal illness. And you walk into a situation like that not knowing really what to do, but just be there. I can tell you that in the situations that I have dealt with and one I'm dealing with right now, just let the Holy Spirit do it, and He will bless you beyond measure. To have been a part of the latter years of several wonderful seniors that I've known has enriched my life so much. But we know that this life is going to end. And when it does, where do we stand? Just like on the streets during the potato festival with the walking sticks, not canes, but walking sticks. You go through the little beads, and then that last question is this. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? That makes people think. Some couldn't answer that question positively. They prayed, received. So it's really that's up to us every day. You know, it was last Sunday, Diane's brother shared about the crossroads in life, the whys, the right side or the other side. And the other side is a Broadway, 8-lane highway, whatever. And we've talked about this in the Sunday school class again. If it's clear right, go that way. If it's gray or anything else, don't go that way. Stay with God and do what He wants you to do. So we can see that bodily training is important, but physical training is much better. And also from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is breathed by God and proper for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for planning in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. How do we do that? How do we begin to exercise a holy exercise, we'll say? I think you go right back to this first little sheet. That's somewhat of a guide that will help us examine ourselves and take action. Some say that people make New Year's resolutions, and I've made my share of them. But most of the time, a few months or weeks down the road, oh well, not happening anymore. We need to make a commitment to do this, both physically and spiritually. And how do we hold ourselves accountable? By accountability partner. Several years ago when I was teaching school, I was much heavier then, along with some of my friends, and we were encouraged to lose some weight. And they made a little incentive. You put $20 a piece in there, because that way you're committed, and at the end of the time, you'll get whatever. So two other guys and myself formed a committee, a group, called the Porky Partners. And I don't know about them, but I lost 45 pounds. And the reason why I lost it is I knew the next Monday morning I was going to step on a scale. And if it had gone up, they were going to say, what is going on with you? When it went down, you're doing good. So I think we can see that we need an accountability partner in our physical and our spiritual walks to be sure to keep us on track. We think about what God has done in our lives and how He continues to bless us, how He loves us. He has a perfect plan for our lives. And we were sharing with some of the Kairos residents, prisoners, last week. And God sort of laid on my heart, the group I was in, to share that God has a perfect, special plan for each one of us. And some of them looked at me like, "Are you crazy? Me?" Yep, He does. A perfect plan for each of us. So seek that God would use you to make a difference in His kingdom, to be allowing Him to work in us, and to house the temple of the Holy Spirit in Him in a way that would be pleasing to Him. With that, I would like for you, if you will, just to take a couple of minutes to look at both these surveys, to complete them, and at the end of the service, and I'm going to have a time of, I'm going to ask Jamie to come and pray a song, and we can come forward if we want to pray or anything we want to deal with that. But following that, I want you to be able to complete these surveys and pass them this way, and an usher will pick it up from you, and that we will do this. Again, like I've said, and it's sort of been sort of like a teacher, like a lecture, but what God laid on my heart this morning. And I really believe we need to take a spiritual inventory and a physical inventory and see where we are and ask God to help us be all we need to be for Him. So as Aunt Jamie comes and shares, plays a song, if you want to come forward and make some prayer or commitment, that's fine. That's totally up to you. But we'll give you an opportunity to do that. And then following that, we'll take the survey, and then we'll be dismissed. Okay?